Hello and welcome to our Revive service. It's good to have you with us. My name is Aaron Hesketh. This week, Pastor Aaron writes, Formulas. I believe they are there to help us, right? They can shorten the amount of work it takes to solve a problem or even help us shorten the amount of time it takes to come to an answer. Over the course of the next few weeks, we will take a look at and try to digest a formula for intentional living, pi squared. Just as in math, this formula may be easier to say than to solve. Once we grasp this intentional living idea, I believe the thought of evangelism takes on a whole new and fresh view and ceases to be a massive burden that so many see it as. Join us and invite someone to come with you as we dig into finding Christ and helping others find Him too. Here is Pastor Aaron.
If you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 2 through 4. Today we started a new series titled PI Square. It's a formula for intentional living. This is a series idea that I received from one of my classes that I did on my master's work from a professor, Professor Scott Bigsby. He's a pastor at Northridge Community Church in Rochester, New York. And God used this series at their church and also sharing it with our class that really struck me. And I think it's a great formula as we think about living purposefully. If you have a bulletin, inside of that bulletin, you should find an insert. And in that insert, you can follow along this morning. That may help you kind of digest and at least nothing else, make some scribbles, okay? It's funny, we were down at Skyview, and I don't remember who it was, but somebody was, I preached on Saturday night, and I preached on Sunday morning down there for our family retreat, and one of the adults, and I think it was one of the women, who made a comment that they felt like they should color a lot more because they were sitting with the kids coloring and they felt like they really got a whole lot more out of it because they were coloring. So if you need to color, there's those coloring Bibles that are available, right, Seth, at Lifeway. He can hook you up there. Whatever it takes to focus your attention on the Word, and we want to live that out as we just sang, live that out with one heart. So this morning we start with this series to be purposeful and intentional. I have a few things there, formulas, and I want to kind of walk with those as we think about it. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Do you know that formula? What's that called? Okay, it's a quadrilateral. Oh no, you're right. I don't even have the name of that one. It is the Pythagorean theorem. Good job, Toby. Mine are all messed up in order on my notes. Let's look at the next one. X equals negative B, all of that. You look at that. What is that? And hey, math is my strong point. What is that? Anybody know? Amanda, you know? Sort of. This is not a test. It's okay. You get that all week long. No pressure, Amanda. So the quadratic formula. The next one that we see there, maybe you'll get this. It gives you a little hint. D, formula for what? Distance. Good job. Are you going to be a math major there, Amanda? Maybe? No? You're better than me. All right, look at the next one. Next is a formula for area of a triangle. Very good. Area of a triangle. Each of these formulas are important, right? Finally, the last one here. All right, what's this formula? What is it? I missed it. Common core, yeah. I will not announce for the website who said that, so. It could be the Trinity, but this is something that Lisa and I talk to when we go through with couples for premarital counseling. Because if you and your fiance and with God, the three of you becoming one in marriage, that's how it works. And so when you think about that, how does that work? You think about that as you go on, but that's really how marriage is best done and how God intended it and desired it. And so when we're living in harmony together with the Lord, that's the formula. When we look at this series, and some of you may be new here, and I want to encourage you, this is a great series to invite people to come to. I want to challenge you. When was the last time you invited somebody to come to church with you? Maybe it's not been long, maybe it was just this week, but maybe it's been a while. Let me encourage you to invite somebody to come with you, because what we talk about here in these next couple weeks are critical to who we are and what we believe. And so maybe you're here today, or maybe you're listening online, and somebody's encouraged you to listen, or somebody's encouraged you to come, because what they want you to hear and what they want you to see is what is most important to them. And there's really three things that boils down to in our lives as we look at what's important to us and what we believe. And the first is this: ultimately, the three major beliefs that we have is, number one, heaven and hell. Heaven and hell. And we believe that all are going to spend forever there. All are going to spend forever there, heaven and hell. And so we believe that those are real places. The second is this: what you decide about Jesus will determine where you go. What you decide about Jesus will determine where you go, heaven or hell. And the third part of that is, which place you go is not about how good you are, but about who and what you trust in. About who and what you trust in. And so, who do you believe in? What do you trust in? Knowing, and we believe this, we believe that it's not about how good you are or what you can do in order to earn your way to heaven. Heaven and hell are real places. We believe that. And ultimately, this is the foundation of our faith. And so when we get excited and when we invite people to come, it's because we believe that Jesus has made a difference in our life. We believe that Jesus determines where we go. When we go from this earth, where we will spend eternity, whether that's heaven or hell. And it's not based upon whether or not we messed up less than what we did right. It's really about if we trust Jesus Christ and that He died in our place, that He took our sin away, and that He has redeemed us, He purchased us, He bought us from the market of slavery, of sin. We were trapped there, and Jesus bought us from that with His life, when He gave His life. I don't know about you, but I love Jesus. I hope you love Jesus too. And I hope that as we go through this series, that maybe some of the thoughts and the ideas that we have about evangelism are torn down. I don't think it's about coming up with the proper method. I don't think it's about saying the right things. I believe that when Jesus wants somebody to get saved, there is nothing on this earth that will stop that. And so that takes the pressure off. The pressure is on me to realize how much God loves me. That's really what it boils down to. How much do I really believe that God loves me? And if that is a part of my everyday life, I can't and I won't be able to contain the way that I live so that others may see it. And it may not be some religious fanatic, and we all know those. We've seen those, whether it's as we drive down the street or we see them in the news. I'm not asking us to be, quote, religious fanatics. What I want us to do is to be able to grasp hold of what God has done for us and to live that out. To be able to walk with Him and talk with Him and listen to our God who gave His Son and gave His life for us so that we could have life with Him. That has to be the basis of what changes our life. And when we become excited about that, when we realize the depthness and the greatness of God's love and compassion what He's given us, greater than anything that this world could offer to us. We have something as Christ followers that the world yearns to have. The Bible says that even the angels look upon what we have as salvation, and they desire that. And you say, how can they desire that? They are messengers of God who are obedient to God. And if you want to learn more about angels, come to Rick's Logos class. It just started today. It's a great time of learning. 9 o'clock, way to put the plug in, right, Rick? Checks in the mail. But as we look, angels are created beings who have choice, because some of them chose to leave with Satan and who were kicked out as they rebelled against God. But those angels do the work of God. And they don't have the opportunity that you and I have, who are made in the very image of God. When God breathed into man the breath of life, that God gave us the great opportunity to be His children, not His messengers, but to be His children. That's what we get to enjoy each and every day. And sometimes we lose track of priority. Sometimes we get sidetracked with life and what happens. That's why I encourage you, and why I've desired for you to spend the first 20 minutes of your morning with God, the first 20 minutes of your day with God, to read your Bible and to pray and to spend time just learning and growing, knowing that this is a journey. You're not going to get there overnight. I haven't arrived, and nor will I ever arrive on this side of heaven. But it's a journey, and we're journeying, learning and trusting God, and learning more about who He is and what He desires for us. But as we do this journey, I feel like sometimes we get so sidetracked and we focus on so many other things that we lose sight that what we really enjoy the most is a relationship with the God of the universe. And that relationship should ooze out of us in every other relationship. People should see that. And so you need to ask yourself, are you living such a life where people see Christ in you? Even if you never spoke about who Jesus is, could they see Christ oozing out of you? It kind of goes back to these three major beliefs. Is this what you believe? Do you believe that there is a real heaven and hell, and that every person will spend eternity at one of those places? Do you believe that Jesus Christ and what you decide about who He is and what He's done will impact where you go? Or are you just trying to live a life good enough? Or maybe you say, I have to trust Jesus and be good enough. We'll never be good enough. It's by Jesus alone that we get to enjoy a relationship with Him. Hopefully you're in your Bibles there to Colossians chapter 4. If you aren't, you can turn there, Colossians chapter 4. We want to look at verses 2 through 4 today. As we go throughout this series, we'll also look at verses 5 and 6, but today we really want to focus just on verses 2 through 4. It's also up on the screen for you. Let me read this to you. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open up a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. When we look at this passage, there's really three applications that Paul is asking for prayer. And I think this is applications that we need to pray for. And as a church and as individuals, I believe that God is working in us and through us, and He's doing great things. And I believe if we pray these three things, just as Paul was asking and pleading for those around him to pray, I believe that we will continue to see God work in our lives and in our church. The first is this opportunity. Opportunity. He says in verse 3, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. Pray that God may open up a door for the word, for you to be able to speak about God to someone else. That may be intimidating, that may be challenging, that may be hard, But let me encourage you, it might be so difficult because you haven't prayed about it. And so we need to pray that God will give us opportunity. Now, it's kind of like praying for patience. Let me warn you, okay? When you pray for patience, I believe God gives you opportunities. Amen? I believe if you pray for opportunities, God will give them to you. I have a good friend, and we met for several years on Friday mornings. And there were several Friday mornings that we would get together and we would pray, and he would tell us guys, and he would say, hey, would you please pray that I would have an opportunity to share Christ today? And I tell you, every Friday morning when we would pray that, I would get a text sometime that day from him, because he's a construction worker. He was on the job site with some rough dudes and even some rough gals. And when we prayed that on Friday mornings, God always provided an opportunity for him. I believe that God will provide an opportunity if you pray. If you ask him for opportunity, all of a sudden something happens. Not only is the Spirit going before you, opening people's hearts and minds, but now your eyes and your minds are open, your heart's open to see some of that. Pray for opportunities. Paul's praying for opportunities. Isn't that interesting? Paul, if you know anything about Paul, you're praying, he's got all kinds of opportunities. So why would Paul be praying for opportunities to share the word? Because he knows how critical it is that God is going before us. It's one of the things that I've enforced, and if you want to say, with our staff, that before we go and we ask anybody to do anything, to serve in anywhere, that we need to pray first. Because ultimately, we can rest and we can rest assured that God is doing the work. And it's not us trying to manipulate people, not trying to coerce them or try to get them to do something that God doesn't want. If we're praying and asking, God is going to use those opportunities. And it will be a yes, or it'll be a no, or it'll be a maybe. And that's okay. And we can live with that because we trust that God's in charge. So every morning that you get up, you start praying for opportunity. Lord, would you give me an opportunity? And if God gives you an opportunity before you, take it. And let me encourage you, say something. It may not be like anything profound, but you can say something. Something. Man, this is a blessed day, isn't it? We're going to talk about opportunities and what some things to be able to say in the weeks to come. But let me encourage you, as God places opportunity in front of you, say something. Don't be scared to say it. And let me encourage you too, if you miss an opportunity, know that heaven and hell doesn't rest on your shoulders. Okay? God didn't choose you to save the world. He didn't choose me to save the world. There is one Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? And so it doesn't rest on our shoulders. Should I take advantage of the opportunities when I pray for them and use them? Definitely. But if I miss them, is that person headed to hell because of me? No. I have a huge responsibility because I know I experience the presence of God each and every day. And so I must use the opportunities that God places before me. But don't wallow in guilt if you miss an opportunity. Ask God to forgive you and ask Him for another one. Ask Him for strength. And we're going to talk about this next. Next is clarity. Number two, clarity. What do we see here in John 6, or Colossians 4? It says this, that I may make it clear, verse 4, that I may make it clear. I love the Apostle Paul, and he was out preaching, and there's a story about this boy who falls asleep in the window, who falls out of this window because evidently he must not have been able to keep people awake when he was preaching. So was Paul really fluent in his words and preaching? I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't hear him. It's not like I got a DVD or a VHS or, you know, old reel, you know, that we can pull out and show film strip. All I know is that God used Paul mightily to communicate the word, both verbal and also in the text that we have today. And Paul is asking for prayer to make it clear. He's saying, I want to make it clear, and I think this is a good prayer for us. We don't want to get mixed up in things that aren't important, and it's really easy to do. It's really easy to talk today about the Browns. Next week, it won't be so easy, but this week, it's easy to talk about the Browns. All right? And we can start talking and focusing on things that are not maybe as significant. Issues, spiritual issues that are important, but they are not of what is most important. And so to be able to ask God for clarity and to be able to communicate with somebody and say, hey, I get that. That's a good question, and I don't know if I have that answer, but let's go back to this. What do you think of Jesus? Remember, what is one of the three major beliefs that we have? It's about what you do with Jesus. It's not about what you do about the current events or what you do about spiritual gifts. It's not about church discipline. It's about eternity, what you decide about Jesus Christ. And so to ask God for clarity that we may make it clear to the people that we talk to. Number three is this boldness. Boldness. See, Paul is in prison. He asked prayer to declare the mystery of Christ, the Word. He asked that he would make it clear. And in this last part of verse 4, it says, how I ought to speak. It's interesting how he says that, of which how I ought to speak. Boldness. We all need boldness, don't we? I want to read for you real quick this passage in Acts, because I think I put it there in your notes, Acts 4. Verse 29, because this is a place where the believers are out there preaching and teaching, and the gospel's going forward. And Acts 4, verse 29 says, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats, those people who are coming after us, and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." We need to pray for boldness. Because the world can be pretty intimidating sometimes. I won't ask for a hand raised here, but I bet you we could all raise our hand who are Christ followers, and at some point, we lacked in boldness in sharing Christ with somebody. We need to pray that God would give us boldness, that He would give us strength to be able to share clearly and take advantage of the opportunities laid before us. God will give us, I believe with all my heart, if we pray for opportunities, I believe God will give us opportunities. I believe that if we pray for clarity, God will flow through our lips and allow us to communicate in ways that we'll look back and say, that could never have been me, that was the Lord. And I believe that God will give us great boldness if we ask Him to stand like people who are around the globe who will today give their life for Jesus, and they count it a privilege to suffer for Him. I don't know about you, but that makes me seem really, really weak. How much am I going to suffer? What do I have to really worry about in being bold, that somebody may get upset with me, somebody mock me, somebody make fun of me? Maybe I lose an opportunity to help or to serve in a certain area. Maybe some of you, maybe you lose your job. Maybe you lose some aspect of your life. But I believe with all my heart that if we pray for opportunities, we pray for clarity, and we pray for boldness, God will provide. He has been faithful, He is faithful, and He will forever be faithful. That's our God. Amen? So how can we do this first part, PI square? The first part of this is prayer. If you haven't caught on to it, as we've looked through this section, we need to pray. And we need to pray, and I have here laid before you, there's five things, and I want to encourage you to put some names next to these five people, five groups, five opportunities of intentional praying. The fifth one we'll get to in a minute. But let's look, and the first is the family member. Will you pray intentionally for a family member? And I want to encourage you. I want you to do this now, okay? Write somebody's name, and maybe nobody comes to your name, to your head right now, to your heart, but I want you to put this somewhere and fill it out and have it before you. All right? I've taken it in my notebook and my journal, and I put it on the back. Inside, in the very back, I've made a list. And I've been praying, and it's amazing how God has already, in these last several weeks when I started this, how God has given me opportunity. Who in your family do you want to pray for who you know needs to know Christ? What about your neighbor, somebody living on your street, somebody down the road, somebody there that you run into? Maybe it's somebody that you see when you're taking your trash can out, as we often do. We see our neighbors and we communicate and we talk to them. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood that you know, or maybe you're not sure, do they know Christ? Would you start praying for them? Let me chastise you for just a moment if this is true. If you don't know any of your neighbors, get to know them. All right? Get to know them. If you don't know anybody, get to know them. At least one. Know their name so that you can begin to pray for them. Number three there is coworker or a classmate. Those of you who are in school, is there a classmate that you know doesn't know Christ and who needs Christ? Would you begin to pray for them? Maybe it's a coworker at your work who you work side by side with who doesn't know Christ. Would you pray for them? Maybe it's somebody, maybe you're retired and you would go out golfing. Right, Vince? You go out golfing. I went out golfing and it didn't go good. I think that's where this cold sore came from. Somebody that you work alongside with or that you see on a consistent basis that you can pray for. Number four, friend. Somebody who is close to you. Somebody who you've known for quite some time. And that you have a burden and you have a desire that they would come to know Christ. And the fifth is this, and there's nothing really to list under this, but I believe we need to pray for providential moments. That's the opportunities that every day that we get to see. So maybe you go to the gas station and you go in and you're paying for your gas and you see somebody who's just downcast. And you're able in that moment to provide a word of encouragement, a word of hope. Maybe it's somewhere along the line of your day that's out of the abnormal. Pray for those. Pray for those opportunities. Pray that God would provide providential moments. I can't tell you how excited I am to see what God's going to do. I am a firm believer in prayer. And I'm going to tell you about that as we move along in the next couple months. Because we are seeing God work here in the people of West Hill and in our children. And I believe that that is happening because we've been praying. I don't think it's because of us. I believe it's because God desires and He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to hear from us. And the more that we pray, the more we realize we need to pray more. Here's a starting spot. Some starting blocks to help us to have a formula. And this formula is more critical than any formula that I put up there. The formula for purposefully, intentionally living, that as we go through every single day of our life, can we be praying for these five areas and for these three things? Lord, give me opportunity. Give me clarity. Give me boldness. Lord, help me. Help me with my family member that doesn't know Christ. Help me with my neighbor. Help me with my coworker, my classmate. Help me with my friend. Lord, provide something along my path today where I can have the opportunity to show Christ and Christ's love. Is there anything more important in your life than Jesus Christ? I can't answer that. You have to answer that. But when you think about your relationship with Jesus Christ and what He's done for you, would you be okay if somebody labeled you as some religious fanatic? because you told them that you were praying for them? Would you be okay with being labeled a religious fanatic because you talk about Jesus and because he's real in your life? I don't think we have to shove it down people's throats. I believe that when we pray and we pray purposefully and we start living intentionally, I believe God works before us. And it's like a hot knife going through butter. It just happens. Because God does it. Because God is the worker. Would you pray with me? Lord, thanks for the opportunity that you've given us today. And we pray for the opportunities moving forward that you would place before us today and this week. Lord, we in many ways are people who are radical because we base our lives upon the truths of these three major ideas we talked about, which then compels us to live in such a way, an intentional living, that compels us to live in such a way that people would have to see you. Because our eternity, our lives depend upon it. Because we know it's real. Because you're real in us. Lord, we know that we can't save anyone. We can't bring people to you. We can't bring people to this church. We can't do that without you working in hearts and lives and in minds. And so, Lord, we ask that you would go before us, that we would see an outpouring of your Spirit on us and before us for the opportunities that lie ahead. And I pray that you give us clarity, and I pray that you give us boldness so that we may take a hold of the opportunities that you will answer our prayers in those ways, that we would take advantage of those to do what you've called us to do, and that is to proclaim you, to be your ambassadors. So we pray for these five areas, Lord, that we have laid before us today. May we be faithful in coming to you and asking for your help. And Lord, I want to praise you and I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you're going to do. What you're going to do through us as individuals and as a church. You're so good, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.